men. So, since you guys are mostly all university people and academics and stuff, I think it's important to start, because we're not all from the same background, we don't all come from the same family structure. Maybe I should just quickly introduce myself. Those of you who don't know me, my name is Philip, and I've been married to my gorgeous wife for 12 days. And it's fantastic to be here, and been at Shofar Pretoria for 3.5 years. And I'm going to share a little bit from my own life tonight as well. Janetta and I are both on the older side of getting married. A lot of people nowadays get married a lot younger. Obviously, a lot of people get married a lot older. But we're both 28 when we got married. So we're still 28 because we got married 2 weeks ago. Did I say 12 days? Not 12 days. 16 days. 14 plus 2, not 4. Yeah, 16 days. Huh? And both are a little bit older when we got married, and both of us have a couple of broken relationships. I don't like using that term, but relationships that, if I look back, I would have liked to have done a different way. And it's important that I say that, because for not all of them, I wouldn't have done. I would have just liked to have approached them and handled the certain situations in different ways. And tonight I want to speak a little bit about that, because the couple of assumptions, let's start with the first assumption that I've got up there, hopefully, is that God is into this relationship thing. That's our first assumption, that we're here tonight because we believe that God's got a certain way that He wants us to do relationships. But specifically, it's important for us to understand that when we start thinking about relationships, praying about relationships, having our head go in a certain direction around relationships, God is in this thing. As a general rule, God is in the whole idea of relationships. God isn't anti-relationship. We aren't most holy when we're single and then we get married and we become a little bit less holy. And we laugh, but there's some churches, unfortunately, through the ages, who have said, if you want to be really, really holy, you need to go live somewhere in a corner with the only guys or the only girls. But Scripture is very clear about the fact that it isn't God's purpose always. And some people, yes, God has called you to a life of celibacy, but you wouldn't be here if that's you. So if you're here and you have a desire to be married, then you probably haven't been called to a life of celibacy. So let's just get that one out of the way. Okay. So God is into relationships. We've got some scriptures here. If you're not so sure about that, Genesis 2, verse 18 and 24. God says, it is not good. It's not good. It's not ideal. It's not the right way that it should be, that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. And tomorrow night, Jacob is going to speak a little bit about this helper scenario. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Okay. It's an important principle for us to understand. God is in this whole idea of relationships. He started it. He ordained it. He planned it. He instituted it. And still today, He runs it. He's behind it. He smiles on godly relationships. Proverbs 18 says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. God smiles on you when you get married. God likes it when you get married. And last night, Heinrich mentioned it's important for us to understand that the whole marriage principle is a reflection of Jesus and His bride. And everything we do in our marriage and when we come together in marriage is meant to reflect to the world the beauty of how much Jesus loves His church and the glory of His church, the glory of His bride. And that's why it's right that just like my wife did on her wedding day, she always looks stunning, but she just looked extra stunning that day, and she radiates, and she's beautiful, and she's gorgeous, and everyone just wants to look at her. And if you ask a girl what the wedding was like, she'll say the dress was gorgeous. If you ask a guy what the wedding was like, the food was great. But it's right that she should look so beautiful, especially beautiful on that day, because on that day, more than anything else, she represents the bride of Christ, who is coming back to return. And so everything that God has instituted within that is a reflection of God and His relationship with His church. And Heinrich spoke about that a little bit last night. So that was the first assumption. God is in, and His God is in this whole relationship thing. The second assumption which we're working from tonight is that you're here because you want to do it right. You don't want to be the scoundrel or the alfie or the girl who's just going from guy to guy to guy and just messing with every guy's heart, or the guy who's messing with every girl's heart. You're here because you want to do it right. Otherwise, you wouldn't take the time out to come and sit here through the week and learn some scriptural principles around relationships. So that's our second relationship. And in that, the right way is the godly way. It's the way that God would have us do. Okay, the third relationship, more so than you want to have the best wife or the best husband, you want to be the best husband or the best wife. You're not here so much because you want to find the best possible husband. You want to hear because you're here because you want to equip yourself to be the best spouse to your partner. Okay, and I think that's an important assumption. I'm listing these assumptions because maybe we all aren't on the same page, but maybe this will challenge us in some areas. And just everything that goes that I'm going to say tonight is going to be based upon just these basic assumptions. That I've got a scripture up there which ties in beautifully with this. Jesus says that, Paul says, I've shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And within a marriage context, within a relational context, obviously tonight we're speaking about romantic relationships, I want to be the best boyfriend rather than have the best girlfriend. But me being the best boyfriend makes my girlfriend become the best girlfriend. And my girlfriend being the best girlfriend makes me be the best boyfriend. It just draws that out of me. Okay, so that's an assumption that we had to equip ourselves to be the best partner. We're not just going to, like Alfie, we're not just going to look for the best partner. We actually want to be the best partner. Okay, that we can possibly be. A very important assumption that I'm going to base most of what we say on tonight, every relationship, romantic relationship, asks one question. And that question is very simply, is this person that I'm in a romantic relationship with the person that I want to spend the rest of my life with? That's the only motivation why we enter into a romantic relationship. I know this person, there's a lot in me that likes this person. I have an element of a suspicion or whatever the word is that might be relevant, that this is the person I want to spend the rest of my life with. And I'm going to go into this relationship to discover the answer to that question. I'm not just going to go into the relationship because she's pretty or because he's got lots of money or whatever the reason may be, because I like dating and I just want to have a boyfriend by my side. I think that this might actually be the person who I want to spend the rest of my life with. I want to get to know them better so that I can make an informed decision about yes or no. And then when clarity comes to the answer, if the answer is no, then I'm going to say, I'm sorry, you're a really, really cool girl, you're an amazing guy, but you're not the person that I want to marry. And sometimes we need to answer those hard questions, and then you step back. Or alternatively, yes, this is the person that I want to marry. And then obviously trust God for a certain bunch of things to fall in place. And then very definitely to start working towards the place of marriage. So that's an important assumption for us tonight, that what I'm going to say is going to be based upon this principle, that I'm not just in a relationship for the sake of being in a relationship. This relationship is asking a practical question. Do I want to spend the rest of my life with this person? And then the next one, and we'll get to this a little bit later, and specifically on Thursday evening we'll mention this I think as well. Every guy and every girl that you meet is somebody's spouse. Maybe yours, but if not yours, then somebody else's. And it's important that we understand that even if they're not married, in God's eyes, this is somebody else's wife. This is somebody else's husband. And it's important that throughout the relationship, as I'm getting to know this person, I treat them with that respect, that if they're not my husband or my wife, they're somebody else's husband and somebody else's wife. And I need to take care of them to that end. Okay, does that make... I think those are all the assumptions. Let me just check here. Yeah. Okay, any questions about those assumptions before we carry on? I think what we'll do as well is right. Is there a question here somewhere? Right at the end, we'll definitely have a bit of time for questions and answers. Can't give you all the answers. As I said, I've only been married for 16 days. But at least I'm married, so I've got something right. Okay. And it's important that we understand those assumptions. God is into relationships. You're here because you want to do it at the right way, the godly way. You want to be the best possible spouse or the best possible partner. You're in a relationship to ask a specific question, not just for the sake of the relationship. And everybody that you deal with is somebody's spouse. Maybe yours, maybe somebody else's. And you're going to treat them with the necessary respect because of that. Okay. I want to highlight four areas. Tonight we're speaking about two halves don't make a whole. It's important for us to understand that when it comes to successful relationships, it's not 50% from my side, 50% from her side, and then we have 100%. Relationships don't work that way. It's 100% from me, plus 100% from there, for a 100% relationship. Annette had this beautiful example that she just shared with me earlier. She always sees it like two little boats. If you've got two boats, and they're both busy sinking, and the boats come next to one another, they're not all of a sudden going to start floating. They're just going to sink together. And it's a powerful illustration in that because it's so important for us to understand that whole relationships require whole people. And that's what Heinrich began to speak about last night. It's just, how do I myself come to this place of wholeness? Because if I am not whole, I could never enter into a whole relationship because I'm going to want to receive something in the relationship that the partner cannot give me. They don't have it in them to give to me. I'm going to drain them and the relationship is not going to be successful. We're going to just hurt each other. And that's where the assumption comes again. I want to bless my partner as much as possible. I want to, as often as possible, make my partner smile and laugh and enjoy just being around me. I don't want them to think, oh, I've got to go date with my girlfriend again. Just phone me in 10 minutes and make up something. Just cancel this date. It's just not cool. I don't want to be with her. We don't want to be in relationships like that. We want to be in relationships where you're sitting in class and you're thinking, can't this class finish? I've got a coffee date afterwards. I'm meeting her again. I can't wait. I need to get there. It's so exciting to be around her. She doesn't sponge off me. She enriches my life. It's just fun and enjoyable being around her. She's a whole person and that wholeness rubs off on me. And she enjoys spending time around me because I'm a whole person and my wholeness rubs off on her. Okay. So, four points, I think it's four, that we're just going to look at this evening. The first one, and I so wish somebody told me this when I was still studying at varsity. Wait for the right time. Scripture says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, to everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, a time to sow. A time to keep silent, and a time to speak. Ladies, there's a word in season for you. There's a time to keep silent. Okay. There is a time to speak, but it's not always. And then there's a time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Song of Solomon says it a little bit more clearly, and I've put three references up there. Because Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 4, chapter 2, verse 7, and chapter 3, verse 5. The last chapter 2 verse 7 and 3 verse 5 actually say exactly the same thing word for word. 8 verse 4 says it slightly differently, but it says, I charge you, and speaking specifically to the ladies, but I think it applies to the men as well. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, do not stir up nor awaken love until it pleases. The message expands a little bit on it and says, oh, let me warn you, sisters in Jerusalem, don't excite love, don't stir it up, until the time is ripe and you are ready. I so wish somebody had told me this when I was 20 years old. That there is a time to love and there's a time to not love. But the time to love, and we'll speak about that later, is only once I'm ready. I can stir up love. I can pursue love. I can understand that there's a season that God wants me to enter in, and now is a time to begin loving. And I can also understand that now is a season that God doesn't want me now to begin loving. God doesn't now want to stir up this thing inside of me, so I must keep it quiet. I mustn't make the effort to stir up this love because I'm not ready yet. I so wish somebody had told me that. It would have saved me a lot of pain and a lot of tears at late nights. Maybe I want to tell you a little story. When I was 20 years old, I met a really great girl, an amazing lady, and she was obviously also studying at varsity where I was, and just got to know her through church things, and we had the same interests, and her sister and I were incredibly good friends, still are to this day, really, really good friends. And then I began to meet the younger sister, and there was nothing, never anything romantic between me and the older sister, but I began to meet this younger sister, and we did a whole bunch of church stuff together, and she was so incredible. And then I remember as clear as daylight, in the middle of September, I was lying in my bed one night praying about the girl, and God asked me, "Is this what you want about the girl?" I said, "Yes, I think it is." And He said, "No, it's not." I heard it clear as daylight. He said to me, "No, it's not." And I decided, no, that was just my own voice. I'm scared. And I carried on and I pursued the relationship. And the older sister and I went on an outreach together at the end of the year. And one stage, the older sister just came up to me and she said, "What's going on? Who is this girl?" I didn't tell her, "It's your sister." And at first she was freaked out, but then she got more and more excited. And she brought me I was reading scripture, and I'm going to get to this a little bit later. I was reading a piece of scripture, and it's Jonathan and his armor bearer. And Jonathan and his armor bearer are sort of climbing up a mountain, and they see all the Philistines. And Jonathan's a little bit bored because his dad's too scared to go to war, and Jonathan wants to go to war and kill some Philistines. And he says to his armor bearer, "Let's do this and climb up this mountain, and if this thing happens, then we know we must go and kill them. If they say something else, then we're just going to stay here because God's not with us in this." And Jonathan says, his armor bearer says to him, "Do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you and I am with you." And this is what I felt God saying to me. And the older sister wrote me a little note. I still got it in one of my Bibles. Small little note, and she just gave it to me one day. And it just said, "Follow your heart and I am obviously God. I am will guide you." And I thought, this is great. Things are beginning to fall into place. It's amazing. And we got back in the beginning of January, and I started going out with this girl in February, and it went incredibly well for about a month, and then she just disappeared off the map, and I didn't know what was going on, and I was heartbroken, and then kind of became good friends again, restored the relationship, never sort of actually broke up, she just got a big fright and ran away because she'd never been in a relationship for more than a month, and then after about 2 months of this weirdness, the relationship kind of started up again, and we ended up going out for the best part of a year, including a 2 month funny, but in the middle. Until one day she just came to me after church one Sunday night, and we just went up into this beautiful place around Stellenbosch, just looking out over the town, and broke up with me. And in that moment, it was the weirdest thing. It's like this person who'd been so close to me, within a split second, suddenly became a complete stranger. And it was amazing. We just prayed together for each other, and we went our separate ways, and we're still good friends. See her quite regularly. Whenever I go down to Cape Town, our paths meet because she's also very involved in church life down there. But I so, so wish somebody in that time had the wisdom to tell me this, because when I started praying, "God, what happened? God, it's just a mess. God, my life, I just thought, was falling apart." God gave me this scripture. And He said, you awakened love before it was your time. It's not that you didn't love her. It's not that what you felt in your heart and what she felt towards you wasn't genuine. It just wasn't what I had planned for you. It just wasn't what I had desired for you in this time and in this season. You're not ready. There's still so much stuff that I need to work in your heart, God was telling me, before you're ready to stir up love again. And to me, that was such a shock. I so wished somebody had told me, Philip, you don't have to get married at 21. Slow down. Allow God to work what He wants to work in your life. Let Him build you, make you whole, shape you as who He wants to be. And then, when He tells you now is the time, then you can begin to stir up that love. It would have saved me so much heartache, so much pain. It really would have saved me a lot of tears and just a lot of confusion for about 3 months in my life where I just didn't know which way was up and which way was down. But I thank God He carried me through it, healed me completely. And I today can stand here and say, thank God I didn't marry that girl, because then I wouldn't have married Annetta. And that just wouldn't have been cool. So, as great as that other girl was, Annetta's 1,000 times better. Oh, hey. But that's the first thing that I really think it's so important that we understand, that there is a time, and timing is so important. It was just such a confirmation to me at our wedding. The pastor who spoke, I didn't know what he was going to speak about, but the scripture reading was from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, about the right timing. And his whole message was, we've waited for long and this, but he just felt God saying, this is the right time. The time is now right. And to me, it was just such confirmation in my heart of the history where I'd come from. So for so many of you today, I really hope this takes a load off your shoulders. You don't have to be in a relationship now. You don't. You don't have to get married tomorrow. You really don't. There's a time and a season for every purpose under the sun. There is a time for you to enter into that romantic relationship, and there is a time for you not to. And it's important for you to discern from God what is the time and the season romantically where you are now at. Okay. So that was the first point. Speaking about the heart, you might say, well, what about those scriptures about follow your heart and I am will guide you and all of that stuff? It would have been great if I'd known scripture at the time, because Jeremiah 17 verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I remember just after this girl and I had broken up, was in church one day, and the pastor was speaking, and he just said it, you know, I don't know if you guys have ever experienced in church where the pastor sort of goes on and off on a tangent, or he says something which doesn't really fit into the sermon at all, but you just know that those two or three sentences were designed specifically for you. And what was so liberating to me, and maybe some of you need to hear it tonight, was he was speaking about a relationship that he'd been in with a lady that he didn't marry, and he also thought he was going to marry her. He was in another country, and then he came back to Africa, and then he met his wife, and he married her. And he said, some of you coming out of broken relationships, relationship that didn't work out, and you're wrestling with this question, but God, did I miss you, this and that, or whatever. And he just said something, I can't even remember exact words, and I said, yeah, it escapes me, I'm sure I wrote it down in the book. But it was something along the lines of, no, she just wasn't your wife. No, she just wasn't the person you were meant to marry. It's not that you sinned by being in this relationship. It wasn't that you'd sinned necessarily by, and this is so important, by entering into the relationship with the purpose to understand whether I'm going to marry this person. And what I so appreciate from this girl, in my heart, I'd sort of decided that this is the person I want to marry. When she realized she doesn't want to marry me, she had the guts to come and tell me, this isn't what I want for my life. There's nothing wrong with you, except that there's something a little bit amiss in my heart about what God's telling me about you. And we were open and honest and frank with one another from the beginning. This is the purpose of this relationship. If we're not going towards marriage, then we leave it right there. And she had the guts to come and tell me, and I thank God for that. No, this isn't what where God's leading me towards. So in that sense, it wasn't sinful. It wasn't that we'd missed the purposes of God. She just wasn't my wife. I wouldn't have known she wasn't my wife if I hadn't gotten to know her better. But we'll speak about that, I'm sure. Hanukh will mention something along those lines on Sunday evening. The second point. Yes, the heart is desperately wicked. Oh, what I wanted to say about that. If there's one area in your life where you do not and should never trust your own ability to hear God's voice, it's in the area of romantic relationships. It doesn't matter how well you hear God's voice and how well you can put aside your own emotions. When this romantic thing starts getting included, your emotions are going to speak to you. And the lines get blurred so clearly. And obviously, yes, you must hear God's voice as well, but don't only rely on what you hear from God. That's why it's so important to have friends around you who you trust, who will be honest with you, who can pray with you, who can say yes or who can say no. Don't go there. He's a loser. Just don't. She's trouble. You don't want to let her into your life. We need to have relationships and friends who can come and who can be honest with you in a loving way and say, because I love you, because I care about you, I'm not going to let you do this. Because I love you, because I care about you, I have to help you here and say, there's something that you're not seeing about her. Everybody else is seeing it, but you're not seeing it. Okay? Don't trust your ability alone to hear God's voice when it comes to relationships. Yes, God will speak to you, but your emotions are also going to speak to you. And we need people who are emotionally disconnected to the situation, who can just speak some sense into our heads at times. Okay. The first point was wait for the right timing. Secondly, in this place where you are waiting for the right timing, or when you feel God says, this is the time, this is the season for you, stay true to Scripture. Proverbs 4 verse 23 in the New King James says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow or spring the issues of life. The Message says, keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. Die Afrikaanse vertaling, bewaak jou hart meer as alles wat bewaar moet word. Meer as enigiets anders wat jy moet bewaar, bewaar jou hart. Want daaruit is die oorspronge van die lewe. It's so important that in relationship, you guard your heart. And this is the mistake I made with that girl. Later on, a couple of years later, when God had done a lot of healing in my life and I started entering into romantic relationships again, I thank God that He changed something about my heart so that I could enter into that relationship and guard my heart at the same time. I could be in a relationship with a girl but not give her my whole heart. And to me, such a powerful testimony is one of Yonetta's best friends, and still a very good friend of mine, is a girl that I went out with before I went out with Yonetta. And to many people, that's really weird, and how does it work? Well, it's a simple principle. We were in a relationship to discover whether we were going to get married. In the relationship, we protected our hearts, because it's important that we do that until we get to that place where we stand for the council. She's wearing a white dress, you're wearing a nice suit or whatever you're wearing, maybe in slip-slops on the beach, as some people like to do it now, and you commit to look after one another's hearts. Girls, up until that stage, don't give a guy your whole heart. Obviously, as the relationship grows, you're going to give him more and more and more of your heart. But Scripture is so clear about this. More than anything else that you need to protect your heart. You can't share everything in your heart with somebody who's not your marriage partner yet. Take your time. You don't have to dump all of your life, hopes, dreams, expectations on your boyfriend tomorrow, on your girlfriend. Firstly, she can't handle it. And secondly, it's not healthy for you. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. And now this is where it gets tricky, because I've got two sets of notes to work from. Okay, a couple of points around guarding your heart. Mention that keir without giving your heart. I don't know what an Afrikaans word for keir is. Ach, an English word for keir, sorry. Does everyone know, does everyone understand keir? No, not keir in the Joel Sape Brock Babalas party type of thing. Converse, relate, spend time with people. Kair in the pure sense of the word. Do you guys know what that means? Kair. What would be is an equivalent English? Socialize, that's a good word. Leon wants to have tea parties. Chill, hang. Sorry? Bond. Bonding. Bonding is also a good word in the sense. Bond with other people without giving your heart away. Okay. Secondly, ties up to that one, spend time with members of the opposite sex. Girls get to know guys. Guys get to know girls. It's very important for two reasons. If you haven't noticed yet, guys and girls are different. Okay, guys, girls don't think like we do. And girls, we don't think like you do. We don't operate like you do. We don't work like you do. And it's important that you begin to understand how guys operate and how girls operate. Because there are generics about girls and there are generics about guys that you can understand by getting to know guys. And what do we want to do? We want to be the best partner to our spouse. When we enter into this relationship, we don't now for the first time want to realize guys are different to girls. You're going to realize it more and more and more increasingly. But you want on a basic relational level already to know the differences practically between guys and between girls. So get to know members of the opposite sex so that you can spend time with them. As I said, they're girls. Not every coffee date is a marriage proposal. Are there any guys who can agree with this? If a guy wants to take you out for coffee, he probably just wants to take you out for coffee. Please don't get all your girlfriends around. Get the SMS. Analyze which abbreviations did he use for the word coffee. Where did he put the full stop and where was there a comma? That's not going through his head. He just wants to go drink coffee with you. Okay, girls. Please take the pressure off of the poor guys and let them take you for coffee. If they get freaky about it, then run away. Okay? But they're probably not going to be freaky. Give the poor guy a chance. Okay? Because you need it as much as he needs it. I remember when I was going out with this girl I was telling you about. Now you must remember I was a student. Students don't have much money. Okay? And Lord of the Dance came to Cape Town. And she really wanted to go. So I surprised her one night as a student. It cost me 500 rand for the two tickets to go to Lord of the Dance. And I told one of our very good friends at the time, she's in Swakopmund now and part of the church there. I told her about this whole plan. And she said something which at the time I was cross with her about, but it was so true. She said, this is an investment into your future relationships. And I was cross because I said, what do you mean our future relationships? I'm going to marry this girl. But it was so true. I learned some things that night about myself, about the way I relate in certain situations. I learned something about how she responded to the way I treated her. It was an investment into my relationship with Janetta, which I made 10 years ago because I allowed myself into that position where I discovered an element that I hadn't discovered about ladies as a whole before. Okay, now obviously there are boundaries about this because there are certain things that you only want to discover with your wife. There are certain things you only want to discover about your husband. But still on a relational level, it's important that we begin to learn to understand how the opposite sex operates. Not every date is a coffee date, not every coffee date is a marriage proposal. And then you must get to know yourself around the opposite sex. Because one day you're going to arrive at a party, you're going to know God has said this is sort of the season now. Begin to stir up love and you're going to see this guy and he's going to knock you off your feet. But there's a problem. You can't speak to guys. When guys come up to you, your mouth just freezes, your knees start wobbling, and you run away to the bathroom. You need to learn to, on a relational level, realize, how do I operate around the other sex? Guys, you need to learn how you relate to girls, and girls, you need to learn how you as an individual relate to guys. And there's only one way you're going to do it, by practicing it. Okay. So the first thing is care without giving your heart away. Speaking about guarding your heart. Secondly, about guarding your heart. Spend time with the opposite sex. And obviously I'm talking here about non-intense relational type of things. Just in study sessions. You don't even have to have a romantic interest at all in the other person. Just get to know what girls, how girls operate. Get to know how guys operate. Okay. Then, once again, that word care in groups. Some of the best advice somebody gave me, once you're sort of in a romantic relationship, it's still very important to spend time with that person in a group context. But also just when you're in the season where you know that now's not really the time where you must be falling in love. And even in the time when you must be falling in love, because you must meet people, get together in groups. Be in places where there are other girls around you when there are guys. Watch how they relate with one another. Watch how the guys relate to the girls. Learn to figure out what's going on in a relational sense, because what it also does, it takes all the pressure off of you. When it's you and a guy at a coffee date, there's a lot of pressure. You have to really make this thing work. You need to converse or whatever. When there's six of you and you go for pizza and you're just one of the six, you can zone off for a while. You can sit and just think about whatever else. The pressure is the same intensity and pressure, isn't there? So get together in groups. Do things together in groups where you can just, in a completely non-threatening, whatever word might be applicable there, non-intense way, just get to know other guys and get to know other girls. Okay? Guard your heart. You're going to guard your heart there, because when there's a guy there, you're not going to pour your heart. You're not going to feel that I need to pour my heart out to this guy when all your girlfriends are around there as well. Guys, you're not going to do something stupid probably when the other guys are there, especially if they're godly guys, because they're going to clap you. Okay, I hope they do. So get together in groups so you can learn how you operate, learn how guys and girls operate. And specifically when there's a specific girl or specific guy, groups are a great way to get to know the person. Very, very non-threatening ways to do that. The next point, set clear physical and emotional boundaries for yourself. Guys, it's normally more physical boundaries. Ladies, it's normally more emotional boundaries, but obviously it counts for both. Because in the heat of the moment is not the time to want to make boundaries. And I'm not even talking about just physical intimacy. I'm talking about in that moment, girls, where your legs are feeling weak because he's got this romantic place that he's taken you to on this dinner, and you just want to pour out your heart before him. It's important that beforehand you've set that boundary, because in that moment you're not going to have the will or the ability to set that boundary for yourself, to protect yourself, to guard your heart. Beforehand, sit down and say, this is emotionally where I feel comfortable going to this guy. Lucille once said, she said it so beautifully, how do you know when it's too far? Well, if that guy or that girl were to turn her back on you tomorrow, you wouldn't feel stabbed in the back by her. Does that make sense? When what I've shared with you, and you take it and you share it with other people, I'm going to be disappointed, but I'm not going to feel, wow, this person's really stabbed me in the back. I haven't been given them the ammo to do that with. That comes as the trust relationship grows. I give them more and more of myself that they can hurt me with. And this sounds counterintuitive to what we think we should do, but this is exactly the way we should do it. And girls, guys are hunters. Guys like discovering things. If you tell them everything on the first date, they're not really going to spend much time on the second date, because what is there more to discover? The more you hide, the more there is for them to discover. And it sounds stupid, but it's so true. A guy is intrigued by a girl that he can't figure out. Guys, do you agree? And By that I don't mean don't completely play hard to get. A great example, Lucille is brilliant. So many people may know Lucille. She's brilliant at this type of illustration that we're doing now. And she always uses the example of the guy is the hunter and the girl is the bookie. Now the girl must play this game really well. Because if she just falls over and dies, what's the poor guy got to do? He needs to feel, and girls, he needs to win your heart. You need to give him, you need to make sure that this guy really wants you. But at the same time, if you 7 kilometers away behind the rock, there's no way he can see you, there's no way he can come looking for you. So girls, you need to play this game pretty well as well. And so do the guys. But it's important that you know, don't give your heart away. Look after your heart. Okay. Set clear physical and emotional boundaries. That's pretty obvious. And I think there's one more on this heading, I think. And this maybe applies more to the guys than to the girls, but it applies to both. Remember, the person that you are potentially interested in is somebody's husband or somebody's wife. Even if they're not your husband or they're not your wife, treat them as somebody's husband or somebody's wife. In the same way that you would want somebody else to treat your husband or your wife. In the same way that you would want somebody else who is maybe now spending time with your wife or with your husband on a coffee date tonight. You treat that person that you're interested in the same way. Okay, don't do unto others before they do unto you. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And God honors that principle. Okay, and that's why I said it's an important assumption that's going to become clearer as we go along. You need to treat the other person in the way that you would want your husband or your wife to be treated. You can't do anything with that person that you wouldn't want somebody doing with your husband or with your wife. And when somebody told me that, that put a completely different spin on the way that I looked at relationships. When I understood this principle, that maybe in my eyes they're still single so I can do whatever I want. But in God's eyes, He's got a husband and He's got a wife for this person. And I can't just treat them as if they're a nobody. Because I can't expect God to look after my husband and my wife and treat them decently and have the people taking them out for dates decently if I'm not treating other people's husbands and wives decently. Okay? So look after other people's hearts. I had a flatmate in Stellenbosch. Brilliant guy. He's got his own record company. And he's very arty. And we lived together for 2 years, and I don't think there was 1 week where he came home after having done something, his knees weak, and he went and sat on the couch in our living room, and he's, I'm so in love. This real romantic type of guy, this real artist, emotions up and down. And then one day he was thinking about how he's going to pursue this girl again, and he's planning this way, he's going to, and I felt the Holy Spirit just prompt me, and I just said to him, because this is, this happened a string of times, and I said to him, do you really want the prize? And you could see it sort of hit him, and we spent a little bit of time speaking about that, because he so loved the chase, the hunting thing. He loved pursuing the girl. He loved discovering her. He loved all of that. But then when it comes to, now something needs to happen here, he'd kind of cool off, and the fun would be over, and the next girl would be there again. And what I challenged him with that night, I want to challenge specifically the guys here tonight. Make sure you want the prize before you begin the hunt. If you are going to make a decision to pursue a girl to try and win her heart, make sure that as far as you know at this moment, obviously your information is limited, make sure you actually want. You're not going to fool around with her heart. You're going to be careful with her heart and with her emotions. You're going to steward her heart and look after her. So you need to sit down with some friends beforehand and pray about this and say, I really think there's potential here. So guys, keep me accountable in this area that I don't mess her heart around. And girls, the same applies to you with the guys. Don't flirt with a guy and get a guy all interested, and as soon as he gets interested, oh no, can he start flirting with the next guy again? Because you want that specific sort of attention. And that's what comes back to again what Heinrich spoke about last night. If we're not in the place of wholeness, we will never be able to have whole relationships. We need to be whole in our spirits and in our souls so that we can be the best possible partner for our partner. Okay? Don't be like my ex-flatmate who just really loved the hot. He loved the chase, but then didn't quite know what to do once he got there. Okay? So really, don't steal her heart unless you're going to look after it when you get it. Okay? If you're going to steal her heart, make sure you're ready to look after it. Okay? So the second one, guard your heart. And I think, obviously, it's not your boyfriend's responsibility or the guy's responsibility as much to guard. It's your responsibility to guard your heart. But still, I think there is an element of the guy's responsibility to guard the girl's heart and vice versa. Okay, you guys still awake? Please just bump your neighbor, make sure everyone's awake. Elbow them nice and hard. Okay. What is the time? Okay, I'll go quick. I'll try and finish these next two bits quickly. Those are the most important ones. Are you guys learning something tonight?
Yeah.
Great stuff. Third one, look for wholeness in your partner. Guys, I can't stress this enough. If you've come to a place of wholeness, and obviously you're never going to be perfectly whole, but you sort of understand what I mean by wholeness. When are you whole? You're whole when you're not looking at the relationship to complete something in your life. Your relationship must add value to your life. It mustn't sustain your life. You must be in a place where you are okay without the relationship, but it's just so much better with the relationship. But you're not dependent on the other person, and that's what Heinrich was speaking about last night. You need to first come to the place of wholeness. But when you're at a place of wholeness, please look for wholeness in your partner. I put there, beware the afflerkies. Do you know what an afflerkie is? It's a little bird that's limping like this and it can't fly because it's got a broken wing. And it's a word we use in Afrikaans to describe somebody who's really not whole yet. They've got a big gaping void in their life. And so often, especially if we're a little bit mercy and compassionate driven, we see this person and our heart goes out to them and we want to help them. And if it's someone from the opposite sex, something in our heart just wants to enfold our arms around them and draw them in and care for them. Don't. Do all of that, care for them, bring them into that place where they can receive wholeness. But remember, you're looking for a life partner. Your life partner must inspire and encourage you, not drain you. I promise you now, the last thing you want when you're working and you've had a great day at work or a challenging day at work is to get home and have to counsel your husband or counsel your wife. You don't want to have to go on a date where you've got this great thing planned and then this big issue, not little, obviously there are going to be little issues, but this big issue pops up again. This brokenness just is there again. And something in your heart wants to fix the other person. You need to ask yourself a very powerful and very important question. The next point there. What if he or she never changes? There's an old saying, guys marry a woman thinking she's not going to change, but she does. Girls marry a guy thinking he is going to change, but he doesn't. You need, right at the outset, to ask yourself if this person never ever changes. Obviously, they are going to change and they are going to grow. Okay? But if they don't, if they stay exactly the same person they are now, will I be happy? And it's so important in context of the aflarki thingy that this comes in. Because you can't enter into a relationship with someone based solely on the potential that you see in them. Scripture says, now there remain three, faith, hope and love. But the greatest of these is love. Love is not enough by itself. You have to have faith in the other person, in their character and who they are. You have to have hope in your life together, in what they're going to accomplish, about the plans, see a life forward together. You need faith in the person. You need hope in the two of you together. And you need love. And the greatest of these is love. But love by itself is not enough. If you look at them and if you're honest, you don't really see much hope and you don't really have faith in them, pray for them, encourage them, get them to small group, get them to foundations, get them Bible school, get them to a place where they can get healing, but don't get romantic with them. Please. We see this so often in church life. And unfortunately, very often with girls. They see this really cool, great guy, but he's unsaved and he likes drinking and caring and flirting with other girls a bit. And then she can't understand why she gets hurt in the relationship. Because he's such a nice guy. Yes, he's a nice guy, but there's a void in him that is not going to be filled unless he comes to a place of wholeness in Jesus Christ. Guys and girls, the only place you're going to find whole other people are in good, solid, life-giving churches. Let me just put that out there right there. I'll say what I told the speaking to a bunch of high school people in Harare. And I said to them, don't go look for some clown somewhere else. And they all laughed. And afterwards, all the pastors came and said, thank you so much for saying that. Look for somebody with the same Amos 3 verse 3. How can two walk together unless they are agreed? Get somebody who agrees with you about the basic principles of life. What do we drink? When do we drink? How much do we drink? When do we sleep together? What happens when we sleep together? What is the purpose of my life? Important questions. If you don't agree about those things, don't go there. They can. Proverbs 10 verse 22, speaking about this aflarki things. The blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. There isn't meant to be that little bit of sorrow within your marriage relationship. Within your romantic relationship. You need to look at that person and say, if you never ever change, if you stay exactly as you are for the rest of your life, I'll still love you and I'll still be in love with you. You all know the difference between being in love with someone and loving someone. You're in love because of something they have or something that they do. You love them despite of who they are. You love them when you've seen all their shortcomings and all the stuff they do wrong. And despite all of that, you still care for them. So you're in love because of something. You love despite something. Okay. Bible said love covers a multitude of sins. You're willing to overlook a couple of things. But you need to ask yourself, am I willing to overlook those little flaws? Or is that flaw so big that I can't live with that for the rest of my life? And if there's something that you can't live with for the rest of your life, then stay away from that. Because your marriage partner, as I said, needs to inspire and encourage you, not drain you. You need to get home and just build each other up. And obviously there are going to be times when the one is weak and you need to cover them. But that needs to be the exception by a long way, not the rule. Okay. So please stay away from the aflarkis. Look for wholeness in your partner. See what else I put here. The whole person does not mean a perfect person. That's what I just said now. Okay. Your perfect partner is not a perfect person. Does that make sense? The person you're going to look at and say, that guy is perfect, that girl is perfect. As you get to know them better, they're not perfect. They're perfect in the sense that you mean, she's perfect for me, but they're not perfect. There is no perfect person on this earth anymore. Jesus Christ is in heaven. He was perfect. None of us are perfect. Okay? So, the perfect person is not going to be perfect. A relationship, getting back to the boat scenario, is not going to fix you. Okay, if you're not at a place where you feel whole and happy in who you are in your life by yourself, no relationship is going to fix that. And especially at the age that many of you are at now, you start not you because you're here looking for the right answers, but I'm sure all of you have friends who are looking for identity in relationships. They're looking for relationships to fix them. And it's so important that we first, and that's why God has a timing, He says, when you're ready. When you're still looking for that identity to be established, you're not ready yet for a romantic relationship. And there's nothing wrong with that because you don't have to be in a romantic relationship. They can. And then the last point. Very simple point, and I think hopefully all of you should know this and agree with this. Where do I start? What is the first point? Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. I've seen it. I've had the privilege of being in a great church for 10 years. And I've seen it over and over and over and over. People come in, they serve God with everything inside of them. And before they know it, in serving God, they meet this great person. That's where I met my wife. That's where Heinrich met his wife. That's where most of my friends, all of my close friends and most of my friends met their wives. Serving God, pursuing purpose together, seeing, wow, this person is really amazing. You've got the whole group situation. Everything's already set up. And it flows freely from that. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. If you're here because you have a desire to be married, you have a desire to have children, Malachi says God desires godly offspring. He wants you to have children. It's so important that you come to that place where you delight yourself in God. And then as you delight yourself in God together, you're going to find somebody who really spell your heart snarer. Written English or Sene. Someone who really tickles your heart. Plays your heart strings, doesn't quite sound the same. But thanks, Jane. And as you keep seeking God and as you keep seeking His purposes, God is faithful. And as you keep following the path that God has laid before you, God isn't confused. And your path and the path of the person that God wants with you, God is going to make sure they connect. They can. But if you start seeking first a husband and start seeking first a wife, you're going to start missing the purposes of God. If he's seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all of these other things will be added to you. And then it's incredible and it's great. And please don't misunderstand me. God is in relationships. God is excited about relationships. God wants our relationships to work. But because He wants them to work, He wants us to be whole before we enter into those relationships. So I don't want to discourage you from having a heart and a desire and a dream for relationships. I'm really just wanting tonight for us to enter into relationships sober-minded when we do so. And tomorrow night, Jaco is going to speak about the expectations that we should have towards the other person. What does God expect? Once again, I want to be the best husband or the best wife because that's where we're going to in this relationship thing. What does God expect of me towards my wife? What does God expect of my wife towards me? What's going to make me the best possible partner? And tomorrow night, Jaco is going to spend time speaking about that. Okay. Any questions about what I've spoken? Yes. Very, very good question. She says, if you're like a big, fun, outgoing person and you're hanging around in groups, how do you know whether you're not going to mislead somebody? And this is where the whole group context comes in. He needs good friends and you need good friends. I think what's important here is the integrity of your heart. Okay? If somebody comes, and it's going to happen, you're going to get the wrong idea, it's going to happen. Our emotions speak loudly to us at times. Especially at this young age that we're all still at. I'm still young. Okay. Our emotions do speak loudly, but that's where it's so important that you have friends, a girlfriend who can pull you aside and say, you know, you're not really glorifying God there. That what you're doing there, I wouldn't encourage you to carry on doing it that way. Or to say, listen, do you know that you're leading this guy on a little bit? Is that your purpose? Do you want to give him an idea? Or where you, what's your plan with tonight? Where are you going? If you can have friends around you who can say that to you in group context, I think that's going to help a lot. And then also, if you're just yourself and you're fun and you're outgoing and the guy gets the wrong idea, if the guy's got good, decent friends, they're going to say, no, she's just being herself. If he's going to go to his friends and say, guys, I really think there's something happening here between me and this girl, the guys are going to go, nah, sorry, she's just herself. Okay, and I think maybe just an important point on that, a very important point. And this we learned, we had these really long missions trips, 6 weeks, guys and girls together, and then it gets really confusing at times. Important trick I learned, if I do something special for a girl, and I don't, and I'm not meaning to send any message, I just want to be nice to her because I'm a nice guy. Make sure I do that, something special, doesn't have to be the same thing, but I do something special for another girl as well, in a way that she sees me doing it. Does that make sense? If I make a good joke, you're having a fun night, you're having a good laugh with a guy, and you're thinking, I don't wonder if he's getting the wrong idea, make sure you have a good joke with another guy as well. Okay? Because immediately he's not going to feel she's making attention to me. She's spending special attention on me. Okay, does that help? Okay, great. Wait, she's got another question here? Okay. It's not like the mystery or not. She says, what if you're just an open person? How do you guard your heart? Okay, I think what's very important, if you're just an open person, you're an open person. But there are those things that are intimate and special to you. And guarding your heart is as much about as what of my heart am I giving away, as how much am I letting somebody else into my heart. And if you're just genuinely an open person, it probably doesn't mean you're just letting everybody into your heart, into that personal space right on the inside here. And guarding your heart is also about guarding that space that's yours. Letting somebody in there get close to you. Does that make sense? So guarding your heart isn't so much about the stories that you're telling. It's about who are you letting into your heart and who are you giving your heart to. Okay. Question at the back there, Ellis. By coffee then. Yeah. Is this a big hypothetical situation? Okay. Excuse me, you get? Okay. A couple of tips from experience that I can give you around that. If you really... Sorry, repeat the question. If a guy asks you for coffee, girl, okay, and you say, and you really have absolutely no interest in this guy whatsoever, what do you do? Because if you go on a date, then maybe he's going to think you're interested. And if you don't go on a date, he's going to think you're just hot ass. Okay? Alice is a big word. She loves using it. Okay. How do you handle that? Okay, I think it's, if the guy really freaks you out, you don't want to spend time alone with this person. Okay? And there are people like that. Then just say no. Don't feel bad to say no. But if it's just a friendship really thing, and you trust the other person at least for a coffee date, make sure it's in a public place, open scenario. And if you think that you just, yeah, you'd like to get, you're not really sure, but you'd like to get to know them, say, can I bring a friend along? If his intentions are pure, he won't mind that. Okay? Because he will understand you have a need as well to feel safe in the situation. And yes, he'll want to spend time with you alone. But he's also made a decision, if he's pursuing you, if he's just going on a coffee date because he just wants to chat with you and just whatever, then he's not going to mind if there's another girl there as well. If he's made a decision in his heart that I'm going to pursue this girl and I'm going to look after her heart, he is not going to mind if you bring a friend along to help you guard your heart. So it's a good test of his heart. Don't worry, say, listen, can I bring a friend along? Don't mind. If he says, no, you can't, then something in his heart isn't probably the type of guy that you want to be spending time with. Okay? If his heart is pure and genuine, he's not going to have a problem with the fact that you want to bring a friend along. Does that sort of give you a couple of tips? Yes, Yaku. How do you know if and when you're ready? Sunday will speak about that, I think, a bit. What's that, Anich? Pray. Ask God. Like me, don't be stupid and say when God says clearly no. No, but God, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to do this my way. Okay? You're going to get hurt. So pray about it and ask your friends. And I come back to this thing over and over again. Ask the people that you're in accountable relationships with, the people who know you, who can speak into your life, who've walked the road with you, and tell them, this girl, I can't not think about her anymore. You guys must help me here. Do you guys think this is something that I should pursue? Where am I at? How do you perceive me? Do you think I'm relatively sorted out, or is there still some stuff in my issue that I must, in my life that I must sort out? Because sometimes you're going to see the girl and God's going to say, no, not now. And that's the hardest. And then sometimes we need to say, okay, God, just protect her and look after her. Because there are farkar abaita, we all know that. But God, protect her and look after her. But heal me first. So that when I enter into her life, I can be a blessing to her. Okay, and that. So there isn't a specific way. Pray and ask the people around you. It's so important that we stay open. A good tip somebody gave me. Before you get married, open your relationship. In the sense that allow everybody who's got something to say it. And listen to what they say. When you get married, you close it. And now you don't listen to what anybody has to say about your wife anymore. But beforehand, it's important that you hear what other people see, because you might have a blind spot. Love is blind. You're so blinded by your love, you don't hear what they're saying. Or you're just missing something so obvious, and you need somebody to speak that into your life. What is the time? 25 past 8. Any more questions? You guys okay with two more questions? Anyone who needs to go urgently? If you want to go urgently, you need to go. You're more than welcome to leave. But let's take a bit more time for these questions. Three more, and I think we'll be done. Ed. Yeah. Yeah. It's very true. There was a question right at the back. Yes. Sorry? Yeah? Sorry, can you speak up a little bit? Maybe stand up. We can hear you better. Sorry? Okay, you get some guys, they're more introverted, as he says, kind of they're losing from the start. Kind of you try and running against the same bolt because there's other guys so bombastic, there's just no ways that you're going to get attention. If that's you, And that's your character, and you're quiet out of a place of wholeness, not quiet out of a place of shame and brokenness. Big difference. If you're quiet because that's who you are, we've got some people in our church, very quiet, withdrawn. Two things that come to mind. One is, your wife will probably be attracted to that type of person. So she's not so much going to be interested in this guy who's jumping up and doing all the potty tricks. Her eye is going to catch the guy who's quiet and in the corner and doesn't speak so much, because she's attracted to that type of thing. And secondly, that guy needs to make a decision and say, this girl, she's really caught my eye. There's something special about her. I need to step out of my comfort zone and pursue her. I need to make a point of getting into her space in a good way. Because, and that's the important thing about getting into groups, is more about getting to know other people than it is necessarily about getting hitched, if I can put it that way. To impress that girl, it's not going to happen one night in a group. It's going to happen over a time where she gets to know you to an extent and you get to know her. You're not looking to start a relationship after one night. Please don't start a relationship after meeting one person one night at a party. You don't know anything about that person. Doesn't matter how great the conversation was. Get the phone number, email address, Facebook name, whatever, and get to know the person a little bit first before you start making big heart commitments. Again, does that help you a little bit at the back there? Okay. Ladies, if you're the bombastic type and you like meeting new guys, then when we're done here, you can go speak to him. Or perhaps it's his friend next to him who was too shy to ask the question. Erbia. That's why you're wearing a green top. Okay. Have you ever been hunting? It doesn't just happen by accident. You have to wake up in the morning, go walking, go to where the bookie is, because you need to find the place where they're probably going to be. Then you need to get into position to take the shot, and then you take the shot. It doesn't just happen by itself. You have to make it happen. Sometimes you're trying to make it happen and it just doesn't. Everything you try is just failing. Then you sometimes need to go back to camp again, make a fire, sit around the fire, get your hunting buddies next to you and say, guys, am I hunting for the wrong game here? Because maybe God is saying no, maybe he's saying no, not now. Maybe he's saying, how badly do you want her? Which is an important thing. She needs to know that you want her. So sometimes it's just not going to work because God's saying no, and you need to be honest about that. Sometimes it's not working, but it's just because you just have to carry on trying. When I've got an answer to that, because I had the same question. When a father phones you. No, but seriously, when you stop trying, when she says very definitely no. If you've got the right to carry on trying until, ladies, until you say to him, no, please stop. Obviously, in a loving way, he needs to hear that, and you need to have to guard your heart to tell him that. Otherwise, he's just obviously... You need to do it in the right way, in a wise way, but you need to win her heart. And if she says no, you need to respect that. You need to respect her will, go back to God and say, God, what's wrong here? Am I missing her heart? God, you need to either change her heart or change my heart, because I can't carry on like this. But if she's given a very definite no, not a maybe I'll see, a no, then it's a no and you respect that. Up to that point, you woo her, date her, coffee her, serenade her, flower her, whatever, until she says the knees either buckle because this guy is just too irresistible, or she says no. Okay. Now the ladies want to start asking questions. Yes. Yes and no. The bookie must carry on with her life, and she must go to the water and drink water. And if she's just going to sit hiding, what if I meet a guy tonight? I can't go out because there might be guys there as well. So you must guard your heart, but carry on with your life. And ladies, the guy will pursue you. A guy doesn't want a girl after him. An alfie type of lifestyle guy does, because it's cool for him, because he knows he can get it to bed tonight and tomorrow he goes on with his life. But a guy worth you doesn't want you coming after him. He wants to see you and he wants you to be there when he's there, when there's the dance or the this or the that. He wants you to be there, but he doesn't want you initiating the relationship. Okay. So carry on with your life as normal. Be where you would normally be. Do what you would normally do. And allow God to speak to the guys. And if you know you're not ready, and a guy starts making advances, then have the guts, and I'm using this word a lot, but really, have the backbone to say to the guy, listen, God is busy dealing with something in my heart. I'm broken. If you really want to pursue me, give me 3 months to sort it out. And then we can talk again. Okay? And if he really wants your heart, he's going to look after your heart, he'll be willing to wait the 3 months because he cares about your well-being. Okay, another question here? Sunday evening. That's the Sunday evening. The whole night is going to be about how do I know if this one is the one? I can. Okay, he says allow romance to go. Don't right at the beginning tell the girl you like her. But don't tell her you dislike her either. Okay. Just be yourself and be friendly. Okay. Maybe 2 more questions and then we'll wrap it up. Any more questions? Anyone going at the right at the back there? You're going to have to stand up and speak up. Okay, first pink shirt and then blue shirt. My personal opinion, it's a combination of both. God has prepared somebody for me, but I have to choose whether that... God isn't going to give me a dream and say, you will marry that person. I need to make a decision. God always works on willful decisions. We serve God because we want to serve Him. We do His will because we want to do His will. I believe He's prepared a soulmate for every one of us before He fashioned me, before He knew me. He already knew that I'd be marrying Yanetta. And He crafted us and He shaped us to fit into one another perfectly. But still, there comes one day where I have to wake up and I have to decide I want to marry her. I want to wake up next to her every morning. I want her to be the mother of my children, which means I need to take the initiative and I need to buy a ring. Because God isn't going to make a ring just arrive in the postbox one day. I need to make that decision. And this is where it comes in the same way that I believe God has got a predestined purpose. Scripture says, for whom He foreknew, He predestined. And He prepared good works that we should walk in them. Every one of us have got certain things that God has prepared for us to do in our life. We can choose whether to do them, whether to seek God's ways and to follow His ways or not. And with our wife or our husband, it's exactly the same. Okay. The blue shirt had a question. Good. That's a really long discussion we can get into. It's Paul writing specifically, and he says that if you're not married, then there's a place where you can stay unmarried, and if you're married, there's a place you get married. But Paul also writes very clearly. He says in the last day, the Antichrist will come, and one of those, the deceivers and false prophets, one of the things that they will do is they will forbid to marry. So Paul is very much not forbidding marriage. He's not at all saying that. And an important principle about interpreting Scripture is the clear interprets the unclear always. So the things that are very clear is that God said it is not good for man to be alone. Which God says that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Where God said for this reason a man shall leave his mother and his father and be joined to his wife. Where God says that he desires godly offspring. Where the first commandment that God gives Adam and Eve is be fruitful and multiply. All of that which is only possible within a marriage context. So you need to look at that specific part of. And afterwards we can have this discussion. I don't think we need to get into the whole thing now. But you need to look into what Timothy's, Paul's writing there in specific context of the broader doctrine of God's desire for marriage. Specifically if we see that marriage resembles, and the purpose of marriage is to testify to the world the love that God has for His church. So it's definitely something that's ordained. God is coming back. Jesus Himself is getting married. And what we do is a principle to, is a testimony to that which is to come of the marriage supper of the Lamb and our lives together. Okay, and Paul actually says that. He says, I speak about the mystery. He says about a man and a woman, and he's got this whole discussion about a man and a woman. Then he says, but actually I'm not speaking about a man and a woman. It's actually a mystery about Jesus and His bride. Okay. Are we done? Did you enjoy tonight? I hope so. Come back tomorrow night. It's going to be even better. Can we just close in prayer? I think that would be fitting. Father God, we know that You are the Creator of the universe, God, King of kings and Lord of lords. And God, I thank You for this great bunch of people that are here tonight, God, that they're here because they want to do it right, God. They want to do it Your way. And Holy Spirit, I pray that You'll take what we've shared tonight and even last night, and You'll continue, God, to speak to them each individually where they are at, Lord God. That which is applicable to each one, that Holy Spirit, You will remind them over and over and over. That, Lord, You will show them the season they're at in their own life, God. That they will know when is the time to love and when is not the time to love. When is the time to stir up love and when is not the time to awaken love, Lord God. That they will know when they're ready and when they're not ready. That Holy Spirit, You will teach them to guard their heart. That they would have great relationships, Lord God. Great friendships with the opposite sex, God. In Jesus' name, I pray that You will teach them just those communication skills and everything around that. That God, You will show them, Lord God, at wholeness in their life and wholeness in the people they're looking for in their lives, Lord God. That Holy Spirit, You'll really give them wisdom in that area. And that God, You'll guide them as they seek first Your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys. See you tomorrow night.